You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. We certainly hope that your Tuesday morning is off to a great start. Ours certainly is, because we are joined by Michelle Miller, national correspondent for CBS News and the co-host of CBS Saturday Morning. The former First Lady and the other half is known as Michelle Miller's husband, Mark Morial. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just tell you, I so enjoyed the top of the show. I miss WWL radio. I miss radio throughout our heartland. I just can't thank you enough for that smidgen of what's happening in Louisiana.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you, and it's also very kind of CBS to spend quite a long time here doing a special about the place that we all call home, the city of New Orleans. Tell us about how this came to be, and tell us about what we will see this Sunday, May 18th.
Well, what's so wonderful about CBS Sunday Morning is that every year they have theme shows. And you fell, New Orleans fell, in the design show. And there's so much to talk about in that realm when it comes to what New Orleans has gifted to not just the city itself, but to the state and to the nation, to the world. And, you know, I feel like I'm a native. I'm not necessarily, but I feel like it. And I tell you, I just threw a ton of ideas their way. Some they had already considered. But, you know, the three stories that I will be doing and that I will be featuring are one, I call it an ode to wrought iron and the magnificent ironwork that is throughout the city, but particularly historically a part of the French Quarter. I have another story on that fabulous St. Charles Avenue streetcar line. And then something that I featured on CBS Saturday Morning a few years ago, black masking, Mardi Gras beading, the incredible Mardi Gras Indian suits and the history that it stems from. And we are featuring Damon Malansa, who is a big chief in that, the big chief of the Seminole tribe, and who is just exploding across the art world because he's really taken beading beyond the black masking sphere and moved it into the artistic realm. So those are the three stories that I will be covering. I'm going to give you a little hint of how we operate at CBS Sunday Morning. They don't generally let the correspondents know what other correspondents are doing. So that's going to be a surprise for me on Sunday as well, just like all of our viewers at home. So I can't really speak to any other stories, but I do know Jane Pauley spent some time down at various locations, including Longview, which I think is one of the most amazing museums, certainly a former home to the great Stern family. And I'm just really excited that such a presence, we felt such a presence there, and we left a mark in many respects because we are chronicling the culture and the history of a great city.
Michelle, if we're visiting with Michelle Miller, national correspondent for CBS News and co-host of CBS Saturday Morning. When folks from your way get to see a little bit of what's, you know, going on with the videoing and dealing with a lot of this information that you're bringing this way, what is their reaction to what they're seeing, what they're hearing, and what they're feeling?
Well, from an outsider's perspective or from an insider's
perspective? The folks that you work with, you know, that are sharing, you know, I'm sure they're inquisitive, they're curious. And, you know, when you share some of what's going on here with these stories that you've done over the years, I was just kind of curious what their reaction is to it.
Well, you know, I think that I think that people have a sense that they know what New Orleans is about. But New Orleans is an onion. I see it that way. I have since the moment I set foot there. You are in constant discovery of something you didn't know. And so when people talk, for instance, everyone knows about the St. Charles Avenue streetcar line. But there were so many things that my producer coming down, who had thoroughly immersed himself in the history of the line and the lines that actually part of such crossroads of America, he discovered things he didn't know. Like, he didn't know why the streetcars are green. He didn't know, why they weren't ripped up in New Orleans as they have been throughout the rest of the country. He was really enamored by the fact that so many of the people who work at the, it's the streetcar barn. I still call it the RTA. I'm not sure it's still called the Regional Transit Authority. But he was fascinated by the fact that, you know, many of the people who worked there for 3-4 decades. And it was, I tell you, one of the most fascinating things, this is so New Orleans, is that when I walked in, a man walked up to me who had been working there for 4 decades. And he said, he had been working there for about 15 years. And he says to me, he says, "Hi, Miss Miller." He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "Sir, no, I don't." He said, "I was one of the gumbo yaya kids who worked on your wedding dress." He was a machinist who came from, the yaya internship program, and who, like, is part of my designer's crew interning with Harold Clark, who designed the dress, said, "I beaded some of your dress." I thought, only in New Orleans. And the stories like that, for me in particular, just kept pouring through. And I think that also amazed my producer, that I've now lived in New York for 21 years. And and people still know me. People still greet me with such affection, and that's how, when people know you in New Orleans, you are a lifer. And that was, I think, something, how ingratiating and how warm and how, I mean, it just still, I think, blows people away when they come down and they're given such love, and they're treated with such hospitality. But a lot of those questions I just kind of threw at you, a lot of those queries, we are going to let you in on. Even though, some folks may not know the answers, who lived with, these features for most of their lives.
You know, it's interesting about what you're saying, and I hear this from some folks. I don't get to talk to a lot of folks that have moved away for a while. You're 21 years in New York. I know that you and Mark come back and visit the city very frequently. Do you find that the city continues to reveal itself to you in different ways?
Oh, all the time. It's growing in the sense that I feel culturally, the level of appreciation of the things that are so naturally New Orleans are being appreciated beyond, the streets and the byways and the bayous of the state of Louisiana. I mean, it's like, you think of it, I always look at jazz in that way. Jazz had to leave New Orleans and traverse all over the world to gain the level of appreciation and respect that it deserved as this uniquely American art form. And through that sojourn that it made across the globe, it came back home, and people are reviving and hoping to continue the legacy that was spawned in our great city. And I think whether you look at the masking tradition, the Mardi Gras Indian tradition, or you look at the ironwork tradition, which was nearly lost 50 years ago and was revived almost singularly by, you know, a small group of people. You look at those entities that were part of that city, and you see that it will never die, because there's always going to be someone who holds such a passion for it that they feel the need to spread the word about it, to educate a new generation on it. And I think that this Sunday morning show that has planted itself in our city is just another way that you're seeing that happen.
You cover a lot of hard news topics. I can just tell in your voice that this one was fun for you, right?
Oh, I get to cover a lot of fun stories these days. You know, one of the benefits of being a co-host of CBS Saturday Morning is that you get to pitch a lot of features. I mean, I'm responsible every week for a 6.5-minute feature on the show that I co-host with Dana Jacobson. And when I have the opportunity to work for CBS Sunday Morning, that's another, you know, amazing feat. And to have three pieces in one show, what an amazing opportunity that is. But I have to tell you, you know, my visits back and forth to places like New Orleans in particular, because I know so much about that town and I lived so much over the last 30 years in that town, you know, I see what is happening. And the good news is it's almost like, you know, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and I saw it in the 90s, and I'm seeing sort of this moment in essence, you know, on a topic that impacts that city and many urban cities across the nation, is this reduction in crime. And that's something that is really, it's something that is gratifying to me to see happening, because people are pouring, what seems to be, they're pouring into the youth of their cities. And as you well know, I think about, you know, Mark's time in office, my husband, Mark Morial, and I think about, you know, the drastic reduction of overall violent crime from, you know, the murder rate being the global murder rate to 70% reduction in a murder rate, 60% reduction in overall violent crime. And you're starting to see those kinds of reductions, not just in New Orleans, but across other cities. And so in that realm, I see, to your earlier question, I see a lot of positive things happening. I'm just hoping they continue. I hope that we can take a breath and in this moment and appreciate all of us for, I'm so Pollyanna when I think about these things. I really do hope, you know, we get ourselves together and move forward and embrace each other and embrace what we bring and contribute, because all of us contribute in this moment. All of us do.
I think most people feel this same way, although we spend a lot of time trying to point out our differences. The realities are we're more alike. We all want a safe place to work, you know, live, work, and raise our family. As cliche as all these sayings are, they're so true. And when you look at survey after survey after survey, it reveals that we desire much of the same thing, no matter our ethnic background, racial background, religious background. All of those that seem to serve as dividers of us in so many different ways, I don't think they really are. At the end of the day, when we really dig down to a granular level and look at things as to what we desire in our community or the place that we call home.
You said it. I couldn't say it any better. I couldn't say it any better. I just, you know, I think that I think that what you're doing is providing a service for people to see who they are and where they want to go together. I think it's beautiful. So I just applaud you and all that you do and continue to do. And I appreciate you. Can I say that?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Can I ask you a question? Jane Pauley. I don't know how long Jane Pauley's been around on CBS Sunday Morning. She has an incredible following. I'm a big Mo Rocca fan. I understand he's doing a segment as well. Lee Cowan and New Orleans native Jamie Wax. So this is a very diverse group coming together, picking pieces and parts of the New Orleans culture and what we have to offer. I think this is going to be a really exciting show for the city on Sunday, May 18th.
It is going to be so exciting. I cannot say, first of all, two things. I love everyone that you named, but I have to give a special shout out to Jamie Wax. I'm so proud of him. He has a new show on Broadway that is about to make its debut in another week or two. It is, I've seen the rough cut. It's not a cut. I saw the live reading, but it's with Gene Smart, and it is fabulous. I can't think of the name. I'm so embarrassed. He's going to kill me. But he has worked for years and years on this show. It is incredible. And then just one little shout out for Jane. And I interviewed Jane back in, I want to say, 2015 or 2016. While she was still over at that other network. And my producer and I looked at each other at the end of the interview, and we said, and we realized that she was going to be leaving, and we said, we got to get her over to CBS. And I just like to say I had a little something to do with talking her to get a producer into, you know, it didn't need much talking because she is, after all, Jane Pauley. But the fact that, you know, my producer, Mary Lou Teal, was like, she is like what we need in our, you know, bag of tricks and in our amazing, you know, crew of incredible journalists. And it was just, I cannot say how the universe works so magically in bringing Jane Pauley to CBS News. So I had to throw that out there because she is a gem. So Jamie and Jane and Mo and Lee Callen and all of the rest of just, I can't wait to see the pieces that they have put together because I know it will be phenomenal.
Absolutely. CBS Sunday Morning at 8 a.m. Central Time here in New Orleans, 9 a.m. Eastern. Michelle Miller, thank you so much for joining us. We know that you're incredibly busy. We really appreciate all that you do in promoting this beautiful place that we call home, the city of New Orleans. Thank you so much. And tell Mark hello. You know, Mark and I were classmates at Jesuit. We graduated together.
You know what? Isn't there a reunion coming up soon, or did it just pass?
Yeah, it will be our 50th next year, so we're looking forward to
that. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? The play is called Call Me Izzy, Jamie Wax's play, Call Me Izzy. Buy tickets.
Okay.
Call Me Izzy with the fabulous Emmy winner, Golden Globe winner, Gene Smart from Designing Women.
Oh, absolutely. She's incredible. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, and
have a
thank you.
Have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Folks, bye-bye. That's Michelle Miller, national correspondent for CBS News and co-host of CBS Saturday Morning this Sunday, May 18th, 8 a.m. Central, a special on the city. And Michelle is going to be covering Ironwork, Streetcars, and Beat Art. And then Lee Cowan's going to be covering a piece as well, Mo Rocca, and New Orleans native Jamie Wax, also a CBS contributor, as well as Jane Pauley. So check it out this weekend. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with
us. You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Welcome back, folks. We are now joined by Mary Beth Romig, Assistant VP of Public Relations for New Orleans and Company. We'll talk about how this all has come about and why it is important relative to being on the show this Sunday with CBS Sunday Morning Show, which will air at 8 a.m. And I'll say that Mary Beth is the most energetic of all the Romigs that I know in that family. And Mary Beth, welcome to the show. She never stops.
That's saying a lot.
Yes, it is.
That is
the
saying
bar,
a lot.
The bar is high.
How
are you
it
this morning?
It was good to see you at our National Travel and Tourism Luncheon. I'm great. I'm just really great.
That was a lot of fun.
Looking good. Yes, it was a great luncheon for sure.
We just had this opportunity to speak with Michelle Miller. I was just reflecting at the break. We are very fortunate where we've had a number of local talent here in the journalism business go on and do really well at a national level. And we've always been fortunate, too, that they loved their experience here so much. They love talking about us, which is great, right?
Yeah, and when I heard from the producer that Michelle was going to be coming down to do three segments for the show that we were working on for the past couple of weeks, it made my heart smile because she, who doesn't love Michelle Miller? And she's so talented and she's one of us. I consider her to be one of us. And Of course, everyone loves the Morial family. So having her come down, I know it will be very special to have her talent included in the show when it airs on Sunday.
Absolutely. So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, a lot of times we have a very difficult time, connecting dots here and the impact of something like this. And the following of CBS Sunday Morning is huge. It's one of the most popular shows on mainstream TV, so to speak. Talk to us about that.
It is. It's really interesting. When I came back to work on the day after Mardi Gras and I opened up my email box and saw a media submission from a gentleman named John Karras at CBS Sunday Morning, I almost fell out of my chair. I'll quote Charlie Tatum at the Sculpture Garden, who was featured in the show. It's like the Holy Grail for me to have that show want to come and bring their design episode to New Orleans. It's the only episode from that entire show's broadcast every year that leaves New York City for the intros and outros and comes to a major city somewhere in the world. So I called John right away, and when I finally got to speak to him and thanked him for his interest in New Orleans, silly me, I thought it was because he had just seen the Today Show here the Friday before Mardi Gras, because the city looked so beautiful that day. And that wasn't the case at all. And in fact, what he then told me took my breath away, because he said, I've been wanting to bring the show to New Orleans for years, and we've talked about it back at CBS. And Newell, when he said he woke up on New Year's Day and heard the news about what happened in New Orleans, he said, in my heart, I knew we had to come to New Orleans this year. Which, how do you take that and say thank you enough? So it was quite touching and moving to hear of his reason. So we started working together that week. Lots and lots of calls. They came in for a site visit, he and one of the main cameramen who lives in North Louisiana. And I took them all over the city for 2.5 days. They picked where they wanted to air. Jane introducing each segment and introducing the show and closing the show out. We made a production schedule, and they came and did some filming before the actual team arrived in earnest with Jane Pauley last weekend. So they filmed early last week. And if you remember, that was the last week in the Jazz Fest, and we had those beautiful days on Sunday and Monday. So it was even like the weather gods were smiling on us. And the rain held out for Tuesday, and we got it all in. And then they filmed two more pieces, one at Dookie Chase and one at in the Cabildo, in that beautiful room on the second floor where they signed the Louisiana Purchase. And those were the history interviews. So when they said, Mary Beth, we have to find a place inside now because of the rain, I thought, what better than Dookie Chase's historical second floor room to set part of that interview, and then the Cabildo for the other interview with another person. So it just all works out really well, and I'm so excited to wake up Sunday morning and watch this show. And it's funny, so there are some people in my office even who, when I said that the show was coming, they went crazy because they feel the same way about the show that I do. It's like, it's just a religion for some people. They have to watch that show every Sunday morning. And then if you do have to miss it, you can go online. And I mean, they have 12 million people who watch that show online. So
yeah,
they reach 6 million on a Sunday morning. They might have already said this. Michelle might have mentioned this. Another 12 million. And to have this opportunity, to have this level of storytelling about New Orleans, set in New Orleans, you never know what the beauty of that can bring. So from a marketing standpoint for us, to have an opportunity for this show to want to come here, it's just a godsend. And, you know, I made it my mission to be the very best Sherpa I could be for their crew, and
and
whatever I needed to do to make sure it went off without a hitch. Well, it's funny because when you have a local person on the team, all kinds of good things can happen for the production that might not already happen. And I'm not saying that about me. I'm just saying having a local person on the team. For instance, the Today Show called me when they were setting up. And when they came in December to look around where they were going to film, and they settled on Mardi Gras World, there was a comment by one of the producers who said, boy, it would be great if we could get a paddle wheel boat out into the river off just behind our set. Well, the day before they were going to set to air early in the morning, I get a call from Evan, the guy who said that very thing back in December. And he said, do you think you could get a paddle wheel boat to come and just float with the paddle wheel spinning behind our set in the river? And, you know, as way leads to way here in at New Orleans and Company, when we kind of have our finger on the pulse of what's going on in the city. So I knew who to call to ask about the Creole Queen making a little trip upriver and doing just that. And sure enough, if you see the promos with WDSU in the morning for the morning show, you can see the paddle wheel are sitting off behind them up in back of the set. So it's that kind of thing that we can do for these shows, opening doors. We were at Longview Gardens and they were getting ready to film something with Jane Pauley, and all of a sudden the leaf blower starts going off on New Orleans Country Club's golf course. So John, the producer, looks at me and then he says, is there any way you can get the leaf blower to stop blowing? Well, it just so happens our friend JT Crawford is the golf pro. So I had my brother-in-law call him, and sure enough, the leaf blower stopped blowing leaves. So it's silly stuff like that that can help make a break and experience for a television station. And I mean, for a network like CBS. And of course, they will remember that in the future when they remember working with New Orleans and how we can help. Yeah, we can help make things happen. I'm sorry, I've been talking so long.
No. It's funny, these little anecdotal nuances, right? And they do remember these things. I know, because I you know, even as the former sheriff, you know, they would be request of filming opportunities here, there, otherwise. And when you can make it happen, they're always very, very excited because, you know, it just makes their job so much easier. I wanted to go back for a moment, though, back to CBS Sunday Morning. And you know, my observation is that show is kind of like Johnny Carson used to be when I was growing up, right? And I know that, at least for my wife and I, it was always something that we did every Sunday morning when we woke up. I went down, made the coffee, came back, laid in bed, and watched CBS Sunday Morning at 8 a.m., and then get up and go about our day after the 1 hour show. And I think there are a lot of other people that do that as well. And I think that's why it's one of the most popular shows on TV.
Well, I had a long talk with John and the cameraman over lunch while we were on the site visit about a month ago. And he was talking about, how do I explain this? The ethos, if you will, behind the show's production team, that there's a lot of thoughtfulness in their broadcasts every week. And you can tell by the people that they are. Listen, we work with a lot of journalists. We work with a lot of television production teams. And some aren't always the most kind, if you will. You know, some kind of think, you know, I'm this from this TV show. I'm coming in and you need to do this or that. These folks, they just have a way about them that exudes through the television set in their final production each and every week. And it shows to a person the kind of people they are and why you can feel that when it broadcasts. And that goes for Jane Pauley herself, which to me, growing up, the child of a man who worked at WDSU, and we had NBC on all the time in our house from the Today Show till we all went to sleep at night, it was WDSU. And so I feel like I grew up alongside her, if you will. And when I met her last week, I had to kind of keep my inner geekdom down a little bit and, you know, just say, hey, hi, it's great to have you here. And then I mentioned, you know, growing up alongside her and watching her. She's the nicest person. She's as real as you want her to be. And just the same as the Today Show anchors. Somebody said to me in a meeting, I don't want to know that Dylan Dreyer is not a nice person when you meet her. So if she's not a nice person, don't tell me. Sure enough, they came to our building for the Babylon Parade. Nice as can be, the three people from the Third Hour, Craig Melvin, Al Roker, Dylan Dreyer. Just the real deal. And it's so nice when you meet these people to have your hopes affirmed that they are who you want them to be. And Jane Pauley was just as real and approachable and warm and friendly to strangers here in New Orleans as she is to the people that she works with. So it affirmed my hope in mankind.
Absolutely. And so it's going to be a pretty broad show, right? Jane Pauley is going to be covering Longview Gardens, Jackson Square, Cafe, the Beignets in the French Quarter, Garden District, mm-hmm. Audubon Park, Zoo, St. Louis Cathedral, New Orleans Museum of Art, and the Sculpture Garden. And then Lee Cowan's going to do a historical piece on the city. We heard what Michelle yep. Miller's going to be doing, ironwork, streetcars, bead art. Mo Rocca is going to interview some James Beard award-winning chefs here in the city. And I don't know yep. about you, but I love Mo Rocca. I love the way he attacks his subjects. And
getting to meet him was a real thrill. Yeah.
And Jamie Wax, a New Orleans native, and is on Broadway with Call Me Izzy. And he is going to be talking about Southern summer style, the seersucker suit. That's going to be very interesting as well. But anyway,
we're
looking forward to it. Absolutely. And thank you, Mary Beth, and all the folks over at New Orleans and Company for all that y'all do in promoting the city and making stuff like this really happen and putting our best foot forward each and every day. It makes a difference for certain.
Well, we love our city for sure.
Absolutely. Mary Beth Romig, Assistant VP of Public Relations at New Orleans and Company. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
We will be right back, folks, on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk at text line 504-260-1870. Give us a shout. Stay with us.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back. So don't forget to check out CBS Sunday Morning at 8 a.m. to see the exclusive on the city of New Orleans. At the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to visit with a professor, an aviation expert at Georgia Tech, and we're going to be talking about the airline industry and the difficulties that we're seeing. And I very much would like to hear from you in after the interview. We'll have some time to go to the talk lines on two issues. One, this issue. And the second is going to be, we'll talk about this gift, a $400 million plane, and how this is being handled by the Trump administration. Love to hear your thoughts about this transaction. Obviously, when you give a plane, it's got to be done in a very overt fashion, but what are they getting in return? I don't know about you, but my curiosity's piqued. And on the first issue of the airline industry, is Newark the canary in the coal mine for the entire industry? Is this the canary meaning revealing the underbelly of the challenges that we're having at so many different airports across this country, and why? Why are we having them? And why are we so behind the eight ball as it relates to technology? Great questions. I don't know about you. I'm going to be flying through Newark in a couple, you know, in the weeks ahead, and I'm concerned. I'm not only concerned about whether or not I'm going to get through Newark, land there in time, get out on my connecting flight in time, but I'm also concerned about the safety. With 90 seconds the other day of every screen in the air traffic control tower going black. Can't see anything. All the planes they were tracking, gone. Not knowing where they are and how the communication system was still there, but they had no way, none of the radar was working. They couldn't track where folks were, altitude, this, that, or otherwise. Having to freeze everyone in the airspace with jets moving at hundreds of miles an hour, right? And the uncertainty, I'm sure, from their end, the pilots, and the uncertainty within the air traffic control tower had to be absolutely harrowing. And there's limited vision in airplanes, and I don't recall what time of the day, I think it may have been the evening that this happened. And start think about that. And I'll tell you why, because what's important is that you start communicating with members of Congress and telling them this needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed now. You're going to hear what some of the projections are as to the traveling public numbers. You will be blown away by where they see how many folks are traveling on airlines in 2035, 10 years from today. We're also going to look back as to where we were in 2005 and where we are right now. It is mind-numbing, these numbers. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Heather West, Executive Director of LoopNola. We'll talk about what they will be offering this summer. And we're going to have a chance to sit down with four Chalmette High School students who won a national competition. We'll be right back.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.